that's fine. No, I mean, I was just going to say, welcome to the Inner Circle. We have Alice. The whole podcast episode, I had kind of like a cognitive load on my head because I was like, I was trying to think of something kind of like cool to say in French to like end the episode on. And I was like, I was just drawing such a blank. But and then you started talking about cognitive load, and I was like, I'm just looking back, I just wonder like how much of my brain was loaded up.
If you'd been able to say cognitive load in French, I would have been very impressed, Benji.
Do you want the French term?
Comment ça se dit?
Charge cognitive.
Oh, okay. Wait, yeah, charge?
Yes, charge. Enfin,
okay, charge cognitive.
Not so different.
Oh, okay. No, because I was thinking, there's a lot of French words that link over, huh?
Speaking of French, is there any, do you know who Dominic Duvivier is?
Ooh, his name rings a bell, but is he a mentalist or a magician?
He's a magician. I think he owns like one of the oldest magic shops in the world, I think. And I think he's in France. He has a daughter, although I'm drawing a blank on her name. She was on Fool Us.
Is it Penn and Teller?
It might actually be. Let me Google it. She was on Penn and Teller, Fool Us, earlier.
No, I haven't seen her.
I think it was last year, actually.
De Vivier?
Dominique De Vivier. C'est vrai.
C'est parfait, frère.
Yeah. Oh, Alexandre De Vivier. That's the daughter.
Is he still performing?
I don't think he's performing, but he's created like quite a lot of original illusions, and I think his daughter kind of is like carrying on the legacy. I'll send you a link to her foolish thing. Anyway, crazy. I was just asking because I don't know what is... you're in England now, right? But you said you were interested in magic before you started studying it. I've never actually really looked into it. Like, how is the magic scene in France? Because we all know the magic scene's like amazing in Spain. And France is like right next door to Spain, but you don't really hear much about like French magicians. And I'm sorry if there are any French magicians listening that I just glossed over, but as a general thing, it's like I don't hear much about it.
No, you're completely right. I think you don't hear a lot of French magicians, and I'm not sure magic is a really a thing in France. Like, we have more, like, for the past few years, we have more like mentalists coming up on TV. I think people like this a lot. And like, we had Dan Brown shows translated as well. So people are getting into it. But magic, no, there's not a huge stage of magicians in France. But there's like people like Fabien Licard and Victor Vincent in France, who are using a lot of mentalism tricks and also kind of using a psychological perspective as well, and like explaining like how to maybe influence people or understand where they hide something in their hands, or you know, this kind of stuff. People really like
that's
it.
Interesting.
So they
that's
are getting into mental magic, mentalism.
Was the word you used for that perspective? Is that the technique you're saying?
Yeah, just psychological perspective, and tricks. But
so, what is psychological perspective?
Just using, just explaining to people why, from a psychological point of view, tricks work. Basically, they are kind of stealing my work, doing it really well for lay people. Like, Fabien Licard is really, really good at this, and he's also working with like how to improve your memory and this kind of stuff, mixing up all this kind of things. And I think French people kind of like it. I think French people are more into maybe mentalism than magic.
I get what you're saying. So you're saying they were giving them the psychological perspective. For some reason, I thought you said like, "Oh, there's this secret technique in psychology."
No
perspective. I was like, "Oh, I've never heard of this one before."
No, yeah, that's pretty interesting. I mean, I can see that because, like, I don't know, French people are like at least from my experience living in France, like French people are like happy to go like pretty deep on subjects with you. Like, as far as like, I don't know, French people kind of like talking about like, at least the people that I met, like talking about like deep perspectives on life and, you know, all that sort of stuff, like energy, I don't know, all that stuff. So I can see how mentalism could have more appeal. Makes sense why I got better reactions in France than I do in America then.
That's interesting.
whenever I do a card trick, people are always like, whoa. Like, one time I was just doing it for one of my friends on a bus, which sounds kind of weird, but I was. But I was just doing it for one of my mates, like on a bus, and then like a whole like crowd of people started like gathering around me, and they were like, "Harry Potter, it's Harry Potter," and I was like, "Yeah, that's me." I did have round glasses, and I was English, so I wasn't going to move away from it.
That's cool. So people in front of reacted really well to your magic then.
Yeah, like I actually would say, like, yeah, reactions are pretty good. Like, as far as like, I mean, it was probably like a younger demographic, you know, I'd say it's more like, I don't know, 13 to like 23 or so. But yeah, like I'd say that they did, because like, I mean, that was like mainly because like people would stop me sometimes and they'd be like, oh, tu ressembles à Harry Potter, toi. And I'd be like, ouais. C'est ça. Sorry, that's
c'est moi. Oh,
yeah. Voilà. Je suis pas lui, mais je fais semblant. But yeah, like I would. What I just said in French is people would stop me and say that I look like Harry Potter, and so sometimes I would just be like, well, je fais même des tours de magie en fait. So I'd say like, oh, I even do like magic tricks, and they'd be like, whoa, and wow, like they say in French. So then I would do magic tricks for them, and I think I got pretty good reactions. So yeah, it's. It's interesting. Like maybe it was just the fact that I looked like Harry Potter that got me better reactions.
It's prime.
That's nice to hear.
you used like the priming technique.
Oh yeah,
like,
you're right.
You see these glasses.
Exactly.
I'm Harry Potter. And then in their mind, they're just like ready for whatever you do. They think it's real.
Yeah.
Have you seen any difference with people in the UK? From New York.
I would say, I don't know, so Benji came across to the, I live in the US right now, so Benji came across to the US, and I would say it was, performing for American audiences is definitely very different to performing for English audiences. For instance, I think American audiences are less, like, are more willing to suspend disbelief.
Okay.
But much more, like, ready to be entertained. Would you say that's a good summary, Benji? Like, it's like, they want to be like entertained and they're willing to suspend disbelief, but they'll get, at least from what we saw, they can get bored faster. And then like English audiences, at least for me, I would say were like more like very like skeptical, but then like interested once you've impressed them.
Mm.
Like, I don't know if that's a good summary. And then French, it was just kind of like, oh, you do magic tricks? Like, show me one. And then like, usually I got a decent reaction. So that would be my very unscientific summary of performing for different audiences.
That's interesting to see that there's like cultural differences that you can pick up.
Yeah.
I think it's like saturation as well. Like if there's less overall magic in France, does each individual magician automatically is like better just because there's like a net less total of them? I don't know.
I was one of one in Marseille. Yeah,
exactly. I was gonna ask, it just popped into my head a second ago. One of my favorite routines is the witch hand routine. And so that is one that I'm actually glad I remembered, because I would have regretted if I hadn't asked you about, because that one, I know from experience doing that, it's a very interesting one where actually the method I use is not psychology, but it's more of like a safety net, because the actual so it's like what we were saying before, where I say, oh, I'm going to influence you to pick which hand it goes in. Really, I'm just using a technique to read which hand it's in.
Mm.
However, most of the time, the psychology bit is actually right, but the other technique is kind of like the backup, where a fail safe, and I know I'm safe. But I surprised myself, where like there is actually a lot of psychology that works in that witch hand routine. I don't know if that's something you've ever observed or studied. Or...
Yeah, I haven't studied it, but as I was saying, the Fabien Olicard, the French mentalist, is actually explaining how it works. And he's not presenting it, like he's not doing really shows or things like this. He's really presenting it as experiments. I think it's working quite well. Like I haven't tried it so much, but I think there's psychological principles like these ones, which work really well.
For example, I think, you know, I'd start by giving them the coin and saying, all right, put it in a hand, you know, don't let me influence which one. And I think around, I don't want to give percentage numbers because I don't have the numbers quite like you do, but most people put it in like their right hand. And if they don't, the same, what I'm about to say next still applies, which is that often people will just keep it in the same hand because they get into this weird trap where like first of all, they put it in the right hand, you guess it, and then, okay, the next time they're like, I'm going to catch him out by like trying to, I don't know, double bluff, whatever. And then they get caught out on that again, and then they think, oh, but this time it's really going to be the one. And so there's a lot of like psychology that comes in, and even if the psychology is wrong, like for example, if they actually decide to switch hands, because you have this like backup technique where you actually know where the coin is at all times, you don't need to rely on the psychology. It's almost like you can mold the psychology to fit the outcome. So if they kept it in their right hand, you'd say, look, I told you I was going to influence you. Last time it was your right hand and I got it right. But this time you wanted to change, but you thought that I was influencing you to change. So you stuck, but that was where the real influence was. And you act like it's psychology. Whereas if they do change, you can just sort of fit it to whatever you want and say, oh, well, last time you kept it in your right, changing it to the left, that would have been an obvious decision. So maybe you actually thought you were going to fool me by doing what seemed like the obvious decision because you thought, oh, it was so obvious that I must have been influencing you. And you just sort of fit the narrative to whatever the outcome is based on the method. And maybe as I say this, I feel kind of bad because I know earlier you were saying you don't like it when people do that kind of thing. And erroneous beliefs, I think, is the word you were saying. But it definitely comes into play in the witch hand routine.
Yeah, but I think actually this kind of stuff is what Darren Brown might be doing quite often, right? Mm. Just like, because I think he generally likes psychological principles and using them into his magic. So maybe he sometimes relies on this kind of stuff and tries to use real psychology and maybe have like a safety net, as you're saying. Mm-hmm. But that's really interesting. And that's nice to be able to try things and see whether it works just based on sort of psychological principles and see what happens and just frame your trick based on this.
I think that's actually it's the way a lot of experienced magicians suggest approaching some of these. You were asking earlier about the riskier forces, and I gave you an answer at the time, but now that I think about it, there's also another sort of way to approach it, which is that a lot of magicians use what's called like an out, right? Well, I'm sure you know what an out is, but as long as you have an out, you can sort of try the risky force, and if it hits, it's going to be so powerful. But if not, you have like this out. Maybe you have some kind of prediction deck that's gimmicked or invisible deck, whatever. But another thing you can do is if you're performing a routine in which they really can have a free choice of card, and so you don't need to force it on them, in that situation, you can try and go as risky as you want. Because if you do end up forcing it, you just scrap whatever trick you were going to do and just read their mind, and they're like, how? It was such a free choice, you know? Whereas if they don't, it doesn't matter because you can just go with the trick you originally planned to do. And so there is layers of that to it as well, I think.
It's interesting. Yeah, man, it's kind of like, I feel like so bad now. I don't know, Bench, if you're thinking about this, like that one performance we did when I was, I pretended to be like a criminal psychologist.
Oh, yeah. How did we not bring that up? How did we forget about that?
I know.
What is this?
So, Alice, I'm sorry, this is like confession time. I feel like we have to like pay penance. We once did this like big show that we like signed up for, and like anyway, it was I hadn't practiced in a long time, so I was like, I'm just going to use forces and pretend that I'm a criminal psychologist, because like I think I was like 17 and Benji, yeah, I was 17, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And so we both were like, yeah, Benji's going to do some like, you know, like Rubik's Cube magic, like whatever. And I'm just going to be like a criminal psychologist, basically. So I precursored my performance by saying like, hello, like everyone, like if you've watched Sherlock or like, you know, if you're really into like criminal psychology, you know that it's like possible to tell if somebody's lying by like the expressions that they make on their face. And it's like, and I was like, I've actually advanced in school, and you know, I'm already starting my studies at university, and I'm studying criminal psychology, so I'm going to use my criminal psychology abilities to determine, like, figure out what your card was. So anyway, so I started bringing people up, and I don't even, was it the Hindu force that
I think it was the Hindu force.
Yeah, I was literally like the simplest force probably like in the book, right? I was using, because I was like, we were like stressed because it was a big audience, so I was like, you know, I'm just gonna use the Hindu force. It's funny. Anyway, so I use this Hindu force, and like I'm forcing these cards, and I'm like, oh, like it's funny because the audience goes along with you. That was what made me laugh the most, because I'd be like, watch, like you see how like she looked a little bit to like to the right as I said the word red, Like, that's clearly an indication that she's lying, so it must be black. And then, like, I'd say stuff like, do you notice how she, like, stumbled or said that word faster? Which I think maybe could be true. You have to tell me. Validate me. Or don't validate me. But, like, if someone says a word, like, this, I was like, okay, so, like, red, like, say, like, you know, is it, like, say these words, blah, 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 and, like, she said one, like, really fast, and whatever. I was completely lying to the audience. I was like, oh, because she said it fast, like, you know, like.
Yeah, but then the audience was, like, nodding along, like, yeah, I saw that, yeah. Actually.
Like, and then, like, you have the camera on their face, and then, like, everyone's looking for, like, twitches in their eyes and stuff. Anyway, it was funny because, like, the kicker was basically I did it while they had, like, turned around for me, and I was like, did you see how, like, her shoulder just, like, twitched there? And everyone's like, oh, yeah, that's amazing. And it's like, then I know that your card is the three of diamonds. And everyone was like, whoa. Anyway. That's my confession session. Sorry.
That's the best thing ever. It's just, I love this kind of stuff. I can't do it, but I love it.
Hopefully, yeah. Putting this podcast out, the podcast out is our way of making up for it. We're kind of like net positive now, hopefully.
Yeah, it's so bad. You might even be studying with some people that I influenced, because a bunch of people came up to me and they're like, yeah, I'm doing psychology now, 100%. I'm studying psychology in school. Like, after your performance, like, I want to learn these tricks. And I was like, and I was still in character. I was like, yeah, like, do it. You'll learn a lot.
Oh my god, they're gonna be disappointed.
I know. Well, yeah, maybe ask around to see if anybody's studying with you. You would have heard their story 10 times. You know, oh, there was this magician on stage, and. Ever since then, I knew I wanted to study psychology and magic. But yeah.
These poor people.
And then it was funny as well, because another magician came up to us afterwards and was like, I think I know how you guys do it. And we were like, oh yeah, obviously. Like, he's going to just say, you did the Hindu force, right? Because it's obvious what we were doing. And he's like, you guys are using real psychology, aren't you? And we were like, yep. Yes, we are. You got us.
I was surprised by the number of people who don't know, like, the concept of a force. I guess this is sort of so natural to us now, and probably for you as well. It's just like the idea that somebody might not know that forcing is, like, a thing just seems so alien. But
yeah,
is that the case? Like, when you talk to people and bring people in, how many of them have any, like, pre-ideas about forcing, or is it totally new to all of them?
It's a bit difficult to say, because now I'm so used to talk about it. Mm-hmm. But from the beginning, I had this feeling that people have no idea, actually. And I think I myself had no idea before I got into, like, really researching magic and working on forcing. And at least in France, I have this feeling that no one knows. So that's quite nice.
Maybe that's why Jacob got such good
reaction. Yeah, there
you go. Yeah, maybe.
Just doing the same thing. Hindu shuffle.
I wonder how many French kids are now studying psychology. Probably fed them the same line, didn't you?
Yeah, probably trying to go to Hogwarts, mate. That's what they're really trying to do. Honestly, they were like, are you studying, like, in England, do they actually teach you magic in school? And I was like, oh, where? Au collège, frère. And they were like, oh, wow. And I was like, yeah, I came to France to share my magic. Yeah. What a confession session. Yeah, so, but yeah, it's funny.
Because of you, there's a lot of psychology students and people who went to the UK, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Half the
maybe I influence you, Alex. You never know.
Maybe.
That's the kicker.
Just never know. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Ben, do you have any more questions? Maybe.
I don't know. I think I wasn't planning to ask about any of this, but it just came into my head. I think we've got some good stuff. I don't want to keep you too long. I was going to ask you about Richard Wiseman, because I know he's another kind of, like, magic / psychology guy. So I don't know if you want to leave any final comments about him, what you think about him, but.
Yeah, actually, I really like his work. I have several of his books, and this is exactly the type of books that got me into psychology, or at least kind of made me stick in psychology as an undergrad, because I hated the first year. Mm. And I read The Luck Factor, Quarkology, and Paranormality, I think, in the first year of my bachelor also. And I love weird things, so this was just, for me, the perfect way to learn about psychology in a entertaining way. And I think he's doing a great job at, like, making people understand their minds in a fun way and making people want to learn more about psychology. So that's great. I also followed his YouTube channel, Quarkology. I find it quite nice, but I haven't watched it in a while. And regarding his academic papers, he's doing really nice stuff as well. Like he did some nice stuff on what's called the misinformation effect. So how the fact that participants' eyewitness testimonies can be easily influenced by misleading gestures, for example, by the experimenter. So, for example, if participants watch a video of a crime in which the victim wore a ring, and the experimenter asks what type of jewelry the victim wore while just quickly grabbing their wrists to depict a watch, people are more likely to misremember what happened and think that the person had a watch rather than a ring. So he's doing really like a lot of fun stuff, and I think he's really, really creative.
I think any magicians listening should probably go look at his paper, because it's reminding me of what we were talking about earlier with like people being lazy, is that you could go look at his YouTube channel, but that's probably kind of like scratching the surface, and you should probably just put the work in and go read some of his papers, it sounds like.
All right. Unless Jacob has anything else, I think we're good here. Thanks for staying around.
I think I've spoken far too much, actually.
Yeah, now let's do the French version of the podcast. It should be another like hour. We could do our French audience.
Yeah, we can.
Yeah, that'd be funny. The whole bit French just sits there in silence. I mean, we can do it. We do have some French people on the list, you know, three people, worth it.
Actually, I know that Cyril is following you on Instagram. Cyril Thomas, the French guy who worked on the false solution.
Oh, well, I didn't actually know that, but...
Yeah, I saw that he's following your account.
Very special.
Oh, okay, well, hello. Sorry for offending you.
He's doing really cool stuff with the rubber bands.
Wait, so he does rubber bands and psychology?
Yeah,
he's
quite a great magician, and he has his PhD already.
It's funny how you can go to such like extremes where it's like you're going really deep into like plumbing the depths of the human mind of like psychology, and you're also doing like tricks with rubber bands. It's like only magic. Do you have both of those?
Only
things?
In magic, yeah. All right. Well, I think we'll finish this in a circle section here. I'll just stop the recording because it's pretty chill. Mm-hmm. These bits, what we do.